Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Travel Department. Discover hundreds of unforgettable destinations with expert local guides.
But first this morning, dragon boat racing is now one of the fastest growing water sports worldwide. In Ireland, the first dragon boat club was set up in 2010 in Dublin. Dragon Hearts is a new Irish language documentary going out tomorrow evening on RT1 television that meets some extraordinary members of dragon boat racing clubs all over this country. And two of those members, Mairéadh Ní Nuan and Clodagh Finn, join me now. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Miriam.
Lovely to speak to you both. Listen to me, let me start with you, Mairéadh. Describe to our listeners, what is dragon boating?
Dragon boating is, it's hard to describe because a lot of people think you're rowing, and it's a major mortal sin to talk about rowing or oars to a dragon boat paddler. We actually go the opposite direction to people who row. When you're rowing, you're going kind of backwards in a way. You don't really know where you're going. But when you're paddling forward. And the best way I can think of to describe it to people who've never seen it is, you know that opening sequence in Hawaii 5-0?
Yeah.
A lot of people now will have forgotten Hawaii 5-0, where they're going mad with the paddles and the, you know, the Hawaiian boats. That's what dragon boat paddling is like. And it's a sprint sport. We don't spend, you know, a long time in a dragon boat race or even a long time in a training session. It's a sprint. So does that describe it for you?
Yeah, really well. Would you go along with that description, Clodagh?
I would indeed, yes. Our club in Sligo, Maes Dragon Warriors, wouldn't be up to the same sprint standards as Mairéadh's Plurabels in Dublin. So we would go out for long paddles out on the lake and that. But yes, we go forwards and rowers go backwards.
Why did you get involved, Mairéadh?
Well, it was completely random. I was at a session here in RTE, a talk in technology one day, and I got a tap on the shoulder. And I turned around and it was Janet O'Doherty, who works here in technology. And she said, "You had breast cancer, hadn't you?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, would you be interested in joining a boating club down in the Grand Canal dock?" And I thought, well, that's the best introduction I've ever heard to anything in my life. And I said, "Yes, of course, I'd love it." And actually, I've never looked back, Miriam. Since that day, I've been completely immersed in this club.
And does it, just for people who don't know much about it, who are listening on this Easter Sunday morning, Mairéadh, is it primarily people who have been ill and survived? I mean, what is the criteria for joining?
Well, the Plurabel Paddlers, which was the first club ever in Ireland. And, you know, in your intro, you said it's the fastest growing water sport in the world. It is. And it's also one of the fastest in Ireland because we have clubs all over Ireland now. But the Plurabel Paddlers is in Dublin, and it was set up primarily and solely for people who've had a diagnosis of breast cancer. So you can join our club or you can come for a trial session if you're over 3 months out of treatment. Other clubs, because they're in smaller towns or smaller catchment areas, might be mixed, but that's not a problem. Anybody can set up a dragon boat club.
And Clodagh, why did you get involved?
I had a breast cancer diagnosis in 2017. And I had a very hard time with my treatment and recovery. So in late 2020, I got to thinking that I wanted to get back doing something and try and regain some physical and mental fitness again. And I had heard about the connection between dragon boating and recovery after breast cancer. So I did a little bit of research and I discovered the Irish Dragon Boat Association. It was in Ireland, and I discovered that there was a club in Donegal, Donegal Dragons, and the Gráinne Whales in Castlebar. So I reached out to them, and at this stage we were in the height of COVID, so there was no sporting activities allowed. But once we were allowed out to meet in pods, I was invited up to paddle with Donegal. And when I started off, I was getting in and out of the boat on my hands and knees, and then gradually gained up a bit of fitness and then decided to set up a club in Sligo. So I contacted my local cancer support centre here in Sligo, and they said, put together a flyer, we'll put it out on our social media. And that's where we started.
And I love the title, the name of your club. Is it Maes Dragon Warriors?
Yeah, so I live in Sligo, just at the foot of Knocknarea Mountain. And at the top of Knocknarea is the burial ground of a warrior Queen Maeve, Queen of Connacht. I remember trying to think of a name for the club and, you know, something connected to Sligo and trying to think of colours and that sort of thing. And then I was just looking out the window one day and I said, for goodness sake, she's sitting there on the top of the mountain looking at them. So Maeve's Dragon Warriors.
And I'm conscious, Marie, there'll be a lot of people this morning, Easter Sunday morning, who may have just recently got a diagnosis, who might be concerned. Do you mind reminding people, I'll ask you both, when you first got ill?
Oh, it seems such a long time ago now, Miriam. And because it precedes the dragon boat paddling, it's like another part of my life. Yes, I am completely recovered. But everybody in my position goes back regularly for checkups and regularly for scans and that kind of thing. And that just becomes part of your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, sadly, Miriam, some people don't recover completely or people get ill again. That's part of it. But it is thought that dragon boat paddling helps people with upper body strength. It was started by a doctor in Canada, Dr. Don McKenzie, and he started the whole worldwide movement. It really is all over the world now. And it's thought that if you do this sport, it helps your fitness for one thing. So myself, I just went for a checkup for something else and a doctor examined me and he said, don't really like that. I think you might have a lump there. And I said, oh, yeah, there's a little lump there. That's nothing, you know, that often happens to me. I wouldn't be the first woman now who ever said that. And he said, no, I'm not crazy about that. I'll send you to a friend of mine. Actually, he's just next door. And he sent me into another consultant who didn't like it either. And he immediately sent me for tests. And within about a fortnight, I had surgery in St. Vincent's Hospital. That was 2006, the beginning of 2006 was my treatment, and it kind of lasted all year. Everybody's just goes on for that length. Mm. So I didn't start dragon boat paddling until about, I think it might have been 2012 or 2013. But the club wasn't long founded at that stage. A great woman called Fiona Tiernan. She was just a powerhouse of energy, and I'm really sorry I never knew her. She's one of these really great women who started Miriam, a club that's now all over Ireland, or a movement that's all over Ireland. She started it from nothing with Marion O'Dea and Julie, who was in Carlow, and the girls from Carlow will be featuring in this documentary as well, I think. And just between them, they started with nothing down the Grand Canal Dock. And it is a kind of a tenet of the philosophy of the club, that we help other clubs. So we have from time to time maybe donated a used dragon boat to a club that might be starting off, or we certainly mentored some people to come down and paddle with us until they got, it was just great there the way Clodagh said she went to Donegal and Castlebar, because we helped the Donegals set up.
And Mairead, just what you said about helping other clubs to start up, our dragon boat Anna actually originated with yourselves. So she was gifted to us by the Nor Dragons in Kilkenny when they heard that we were setting up, and she originated with you guys. So we have her now. She's a beautiful standard 2022 crew boat, and she'll actually be featuring on the documentary as well tomorrow evening.
And another great thing about the movement worldwide is, if you're a member of a dragon boat club for breast cancer survivors, you can contact any club anywhere in the world and say, do you know what, I'm visiting, you know, it could be Paris, it could be Rio de Janeiro, it could be, this has happened, you know, Florida. And you say, can I come out with you? And they're so welcoming. And we welcome people. We have visitors regularly down at the Grand Canal Dock from all over the world, and we take them out with us.
And Clodagh, what's your own personal story? I gather, I think you're a mum to four young people, aren't you?
Yeah, they're young adults now at this stage, between 19 and 26. But at the time, they were 11 to 17, I think it was at the time. So I was a long distance open water swimmer in 2017. And I was just after coming out after a sea swim on a winter's day in the November, and I was having a shower, and I just noticed that there was a lump in my armpit, kind of on the bra line. And I just thought to myself, I knew that shouldn't be there. So it took me about a week to get up the courage to go and see my GP. So I went in to see her the following Friday, and she referred me down to Galway, because my centre of excellence would be Galway. And they did a biopsy, and my consultant says, well, look, we're going to take that lump out anyways, regardless of what the biopsy results are. So I went down a week later. He said, OK, I just want to take another little sample, and we'll have a look at that then. And you're going in, this was on a Monday, said your surgery is for Wednesday. Came back up home, went into work Tuesday, told them I'm going to be off for a few months. And what was what was the plan going in was to have the lump and maybe two nodes taken out. But in surgery then they discovered that the lump was already over 10 centimetres and they took out five nodes. So the results from that came back that the it was breast cancer, and that in order to get clear margins, because they need to get clear tissue or clean tissue in a circumference around where your tumour was to ensure that the cancer hasn't spread. So in my case, in order to get clean tissue, it had to be a mastectomy. So I said, OK, if you're taking one, you're taking both, because I'm not coming back. So I had a bilateral mastectomy in 2018, auxiliary clearance, which means all the lymph nodes taken out of my right arm because the cancer was on the right hand side. And I had implant reconstruction done. I had chemo and I had radiation. I had sepsis. I had to have one of the implants taken out again. And then gradually over the course of another 2 years, then I had reconstruction finished up again. So I spent most of 2018 in and out of hospital, and I had my last surgery in February 2020, just before COVID.
And you're doing great now by the sounds of it, Clodagh.
Yeah, I'm busy. I'm still on endocrine treatment. My cancer was estrogen positive. So I still have another year or two to go on endocrine treatment, and we'll see how it goes then after that. But hopefully that will be the end of it for me. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hope it will.
I hope it's the end of it for you too, Clodagh. And can I just say, Miriam, I think we may have invited ourselves, but perhaps Maeve Dragon Warriors invited us, but we are inclined to invite ourselves from time to time. And we went up and paddled on Loch Gill. They have the most sensationally beautiful club and training area, haven't you, Clodagh? It's just divine. I mean, it would encourage anybody to go dragon boat paddling. And another place that we may have invited ourselves is, Clodagh mentioned them there, the Gráinne Whales in Castlebar. They paddle on Loch Lanna with the most stupendous view of Crowpatrick, just down at the end of the lake. I mean, anybody would want to paddle towards it. And they have been, you know, most welcoming, all the clubs. And we visited Lagan in Belfast. We have a great relationship with them as well. And they started training with us in order to start their own club also.
And do you both find actually meeting people and obviously doing this activity with them, it's like everyone knows everyone's literally in the same boat?
Well, I don't know about Clodagh's particular experience, because, you know, Maeve's Dragon Warriors are a little bit smaller. We're a very big club. And actually, one of the things we hardly ever talk about is cancer.
Great.
Because we've so many other things going on. We've a regatta coming up in Athy on Bank Holiday Monday in May. And I can tell you, our coach, Rosemary Phelan, will not allow us to talk about anything, only dragon paddling and training. And somebody might say, listen, Rosemary, I go walking or I go swimming. And she'll say, no, that is not training. You've got to train. And so our focus very much is on training all the time. And it really is great. It takes your mind off things. And if anybody wants to talk about their diagnosis or about their drugs or about an issue they have, they can do that with their fellow paddlers.
Do you find the same, Clodagh, that a lot of the time it's not mentioned at all, cancer?
Yes and no. Like, we're this is our fourth season on the water, so we're still a relatively young club. We've about 35 members. We have survivors and supporters. You know, there's a good few of us are either still in treatment, living with cancer, you know, and then we would have inquiries from people who are not terribly long out of cancer. And it's not the main topic of conversation, but, you know, if somebody says that they're a bit sore, if they're a bit tired, you understand what that means. And, you know, straight away to pull up the handbrake and, you know, just to give them a bit of space. We're not so much, well, I can't say we're not competitive, because as soon as you sit in that boat at regatta, everybody is. And
that's very true.
yeah, we wouldn't be at the same level, of course, of the pluripels in a competitive sense, but we're very much a social club. We do have the crack and have the laughs and would be out talking on the boat and that. And in fact, last year we teamed up with Lagan Dragons for a regatta in Loch Rinn in September, which is another new club, actually, Loch Rinn Dragons. They celebrate their first birthday on Sunday. But we were heading out to the start line in a final, and we already knew that we had won a medal because we had beaten our beautiful neighbours, Gráinne Whales. So we were in the final, and as a mixed team, because we had, I think we had two men on board, so we were in the mixed category. And we knew we weren't going to come first or second. Our medal was third. But the fact that we had got into the final, it may as well have been gold for us. So we were singing on the way out to the start line, and one of the Lagan girls was drumming for us at the time, and she just looked in shock and horror because she didn't know how to respond to that, because there's no talking or singing in Lagans either. They're a very serious crew.
Donegal sing as well. They know, yeah, the Donegal Dragons, they sing, yeah, them, because their course runs out to the sea in Donegal town, and on their beautiful way back in, they sing. It's really lovely. It,
yeah,
sounds quite.
So we're the given last team.
It sounds competitive enough, though, is it, Mairead?
Oh well, there's another, yeah, element I should mention. There's a national team now this year, a really strong national team, and that's nothing to do with breast cancer. There's a national women's team, and we've got one of our members has been picked on at Tara Byrne, which is very exciting for us, and we wish Tara all the best in the championships when they race this summer. So you'd think you're not competitive, Miriam, until you get out there and somebody blows a whistle, and then you absolutely all have to keep in time, and you have a drummer. You know, it's an Eastern sport. It came from China, so there are a lot of elements of it that are very Eastern. We have a dragon head at one end of the boat. We have a drummer at the other end. You'll see the exact same thing maybe in Korea or in China. If you go on YouTube, you'll see very, very predominant in the east of the world. And it's thousands of years old. There aren't that many sports that are so old, and you're able to participate in it. Now, the best thing for us is you can participate at any age. Mm. I can't think of any or many sports that you can at any age enter, train. And then when you race, you only race in your category. So you might be out on the river or a stretch of water, and there might be big burly men racing along beside you in their dragon boat. And all you have to do is race against yourself. You race against your own time. It's all done on timings. But the motivation from racing beside these 35 and 40 year olds, you know, who are big and muscular, and we meet them at international regattas as well. I'm telling you, you don't come home and say, I'm not competitive.
That's so good. And Claude, I suppose for anyone listening this morning who'd like to get involved, I mean, it is competitive, but as Mairead said, it can be any age group. So would you say to people, don't be afraid to try dragon boating, however old you are?
Oh, absolutely. Because the age span in our club is from 20 to about 75. So that just tells its own story. And as I say to people coming to us, you just have to be over 18 and above ground and just have an enthusiasm about you. And just to, you know, give it a lash. If you don't try, you won't know. When people talk about dragon boating and they mention the breast cancer link, I just describe to them, if you imagine a soccer ball with all the different, the hexagons on them.
Yeah.
So the world of dragon boating is like a soccer ball. And then the breast cancer piece is one of those hexagons. Mm-hmm. It's a small piece in the worldwide scheme of things, but it's a very loud piece. And then clubs like my own, we're an all cancer paddler club. So we would have prostate, multiple myeloma, ovarian, skin, breast, you know, everybody. And we're like the air valve on that ball. So it's only a small portion. But, you know, worldwide, as Mairead said, you can travel the world by dragon boat club. I had the pleasure of competing in a boat in Sarasota in Florida in January with Betty Sully, who is in her 80s. And she's one of the original Don McKenzie paddlers from 30 years ago. And she's still going strong. So it'll just tell you, it's open to everybody and anybody. And just to look up the Irish Dragon Boat Association, they have a website, and on that you'll be able to find out what clubs are in Ireland and if there's a club in your area, and just reach out and get in touch with them.
Yeah, you don't have to be super fit to join, but there is no doubt but that you will be fitter if you join, yeah, and if you do it, and if you do it with enthusiasm, you will end up fitter.
And men, yeah, and women can join?
Men and women, because men get breast cancer, yeah, too. Mm-hmm. It's primarily, our club is for breast cancer survivors, and it's mostly a breast cancer sport, apart from the clubs that have nothing to do with cancer at all. That's what it was started from, that movement in Canada.
Finally, Claude, I'll ask you both, what does it mean to you to have this in your life?
I would say that cancer closed many doors for me in my life prior to that, and things that I would have been involved in. But it has opened so many more. I know so many people from all over the world. I have an amazing crew here in Sligo. It has brought a new lease of life to me and to my club members. Like, people who have never sat in a boat before are able to come and paddle and enjoy. And my favourite part, I think, of things that we do is when we're coming home from an event, whether it's a social visit to another club or if it's coming home from a regatta nationally or internationally, because we travel as well. But it's just to sit back and watch the cacophony of voices and laughter of all of these people who wouldn't know each other if it wasn't for their cancer connection. And to hear them, you know, analysing tactics and the race that we've just come from, or, you know, have you seen what that club do? Maybe we could do that, or different training or habits or different things that they pick up. And this is from people who were possibly never competitive in their lives before, you know, never competed in any sport. You know, for example, we've been to Barcelona last year. We're going again this year. That we have paddled on an Olympic waterway, Olympic canal in Casta del Fel in Barcelona. Like, how many people can say that, you know, after taking up a sport in their 50s or 60s or 70s?
That's very true.
It's amazing.
I was on that one too, Clodagh. Yes. It's a really beautiful course. And Hanover last year was also, it may not have been an Olympic course, but it could have been an Olympic course. It was built specially. And for me, I was asked to write a message one time for a couple who were getting married. It was one of the paddlers said to me, will you just write them something interesting? They're getting married. And one of the things about dragon boating is you don't have to be perfect, but you do have to keep in time. If you don't keep in time, someone paddle can slow the boat up. So I wrote that sometimes when we're coming in and we're finished training, the helm might say, now you're all paddling in time, you listen to your paddles, close your eyes and just take the boat in without opening your eyes. So 20 of us together and in time paddle in towards the pontoon, and we're listening to the splish splash of the paddles hitting the water, and we know that we're in time, and we know that we're all codependent. We're not going to get into that pontoon properly unless we stay together and support each other. And actually, that's the epitome of what dragon boating is about.
Beautifully put. Well, look, Mairéadh Ní Nuán and Clodagh, thank you both so much for joining me this morning on this Easter Sunday. Keep it up. It sounds absolutely wonderful. And I hope you both stay really, really healthy. That documentary, which is beautiful watch, actually, is going out tomorrow night on RT1 television at 6:30. And it'll be on RT1 and the RT player. And for more information on dragon boating, you can go to dragonboat.ie. We're going to take a break and we'll be back afterwards.